Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 here this morning. And this is what it reads. It reads, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your spirit, whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful." Let us pray. Father, you are good to us. In a time in which people are struggling with worry, they're struggling with stress, they're struggling with anxiety, I pray that as we dive into your word, that you'll comfort our hearts, that you'll heal our wounds, and where we're struggling, that we'll run to you. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's said that there's a time in which people are struggling more than ever when it comes to their emotions. It's been through this pandemic. From worry to stress to anxiety to fear, and from the rise of mental health issues, it's on the rise. It really is. And it's important that we as believers, one, are prepared to know what Scripture says and what we should do about it for ourselves, for our family, for our church, and for our community. Because the answer, when you get down to it, the answer is Jesus Christ. And you may have run to something else. You may have ran to alcohol. You may have ran to drugs. You may have ran to something, whatever it is, to comfort your heart, to comfort your soul. And it's just not working. It's not. And the more our society runs away from Jesus, runs towards a false gospel or a false hope or something they run after, I'm afraid the more and more we're going to see mental health rise even more. And it breaks my heart. Some of you who are watching, some of you who are here right now, you've felt the pain of having a loved one take their own life. And I hope that if that's you right now, they won't listen to Satan in that. That you realize and you'll listen to the Spirit of God, that there is hope, there is help, and the Holy Spirit wants to help you. You see, we all experience different emotions. I mean, God has given us these emotions. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, God-given emotions are a gift from God. And our emotions can be, and the way we feel about something can be an indicator, but we don't want it to be a dictator, but we also don't want to ignore it either. But we experience different emotions because of a couple different reasons. Sometimes, one, it's because something good has happened to us. Maybe we got a new job, we met someone new, maybe in a girlfriend, boyfriend, new relationship, we had a child, we bought a house. Then sometimes something bad happens to us and we lose a job or a loved one passes away, we have a health issue and we wonder, God, where are you at? But I want to remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, "For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." Jesus never promised you and I wouldn't have issues, that we wouldn't suffer, that we wouldn't get caught in the crosshairs of things that happen in this world. But he did promise he would go and walk with us, that he would help us. And I'm thankful for that. Sometimes it's because we have certain emotions, because we did something good. We have that good sense of pride, like we built something or we accomplished something. And we feel good about what God allowed us to do and to use our gifts. Sometimes we do something bad and we're wondering like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. And so sometimes we feel that way. And I saw this on a sign and I thought it was kind of funny, but it has some truth to it. It says, you know, everything happens for a reason. Amen. And I do believe that everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and you make bad decisions. We all have been there before, right? You're like, oh, why'd I do that? That was so stupid. And you know, it applies to ourselves. Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes because of either a diet, or we're getting older, or sometimes, ladies, you had a baby, and sometimes it's linked to our hormones that we just need to get under control and need help on, right? And maybe we need to go to the doctor, and we need to get leveled. Like, there's sometimes that happens in our life. Sometimes in our life, it's on the spiritual end of what we're feeling. Have you ever felt like there's times in your life where you feel either just like there's a spiritual like suppression, like there's something going on and you're not sure what it is. You can't quite put your finger on it. And eventually, sometimes it dawns on you like, wait a second. I know I have an enemy. I know there's spiritual warfare. And what I'm going through right now, that's what it is. Sometimes that's the way why we have certain emotions. Sometimes it's a physical issue, and what we're going through physically can affect us, you know, spiritually. And so sometimes it's a physical issue. But when you get down to it, the Bible says this, just as Paul mentioned, we're a body, we're a soul, and a spirit. And this expression is Paul's way of saying God must be involved in every aspect of life. It's wrong to think that we can separate the spiritual life from everything else. Christ wants to be in control of our body, our soul, and in and of our spirit. That's why Scripture says, man, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Let's break this down a little bit, though. The word soul can refer to both immaterial and material aspects of humanity. Now, if you Google, does the soul weigh anything? You'll get different opinions. Imagine that on the internet of, does the soul weigh anything? Does, you know, when you die, do you lose weight? Does your body lose weight? And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but you are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. And this body in which you have is where your soul resides. It's the outer shell. It's what people see. You are not your body. You are a soul, but that's connected temporarily for a time. And the soul, once you have, will live forever. And it will spend either eternity in a place called heaven, or as Scripture says, a place called hell. And unlike human beings having a spirit, human beings are souls. It is the most basic sense of the word soul means life. However, beyond this essential meaning, the Bible speaks of the soul in many different contexts. One, it mentions how our soul desires, because it's tainted by sin, that it desires to sin. You may in your mind go, I know I should not do this or say this, but the soul's like, let's just do it. There's a battle going on between the body, soul, and at times the spirit. In human beings, we have a sinful nature. The soul, as the life essence of the body, is removed at the time of death. When you die, the body stays. The soul leaves. The soul doesn't stay in the body. The soul is gone. When I look at a loved one who's in the casket on their the day of their funeral, I see their body, but I do not see really them. And the Bible's clear that when a believer dies, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. The soul, as with the spirit, is a center of many spiritual and emotional experiences. The word soul can refer to the whole person, whether alive on earth or in the afterlife. The soul and the spirit are connected, but they can be separated, according to Hebrews 4. And the Word of God can separate that between the soul and the spirit. And ever since ever since Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned, man died spiritually. Died spiritually. You see, the soul and the spirit is the impartial part of humanity that connects with God. We have desire to connect with God. There's a void in every person that wants to connect with God. And some will try to connect to God by making an image, by making a hobby their God, by making maybe even some person their God. And there's a search spiritually. Some in theology will say, well, really man is a body, and then the soul and spirit are together. They call that a dichotomy. There's some say, wait a second, it's a trichotomy, meaning there's a body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit, which I personally believe, because I think Scripture is what teaches, as Paul taught in his book of Hebrews 4, mentioning the soul and spirit can be divided. Scripture mentions that when we allow the Spirit of God to lead our lives as Christians, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. As children of God, we are no longer led by our own spirit, but by God's Spirit. Now, let me break this down a little bit further. Is that we're born body, soul, and yet without Christ, the Spirit is dead. And Scripture is very clear that when we come to know Christ, we repent of our sins, we become a Christian, Christ, through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, who is God, quickens the Spirit within us, and we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And that's how Adam and Eve were created, body, soul, spirit. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the spiritual died. And so, preacher, why are you going over this? Because as we're going to look at worry, stress, and anxiety, there's a connection with the body, soul, and the spirit. Maybe this morning you're struggling with worry. You're struggling with stress. You're struggling with anxiety. I've never had anxiety attack. I know people who have had them before, including in the church. I've had pastor friends who have had them. There's times in which they think they're having a heart attack and they go, no, it was an anxiety attack. It's like, I was doing fine. I was feeling fine, but something with anxiety is not always seen, because there's some things we just don't quite understand of the connection between the body, soul, and spirit. But rest assured, they do affect one another. You see, worry happens in your mind. Stress happens in your body. You ever get a knot in your muscle, maybe in your shoulders? And, you know, if you have someone who, you know, is trying to, you know, a masseuse or whoever, that they're trying to massage that, they're trying to, you know, get that knot out. What is it caused from? From stress. Anxiety affects your body, your soul, and your spirit. It seems to be all wrapped and connected into one. Let's talk about worry here for a moment, though. With it touching the mind? Worry is concern that's gone haywire. Everyday worries take place in all of our thoughts. Worry is specific. There's a logical component to worry. Your brain is trying to make sense of the real and present danger. And worrying when your fears are actionable makes sense at times. It's worry that can lead you to take certain precautions, right? Washing your hands or planning for the future. Nothing wrong with doing some of those things. Worry is usually short term. What is stress? Stress touches the physical. Stress is what you feel when you have to handle more than what you're used to. Stress can be good at times, right? It can be good at times. If you're on a job and suddenly you have to get a job done, or there's a tense situation, it helps you focus. If you've played any amount of sports, there's times in sports you're very stressed because you're so focused. And God made us that way. And some of that's not necessarily bad. But when we're constantly under stress, eventually something is going to affect us to some degree or another. Studies have found that some of the most stressful situations in life can be the death of a loved one. It can be divorce or separation, jail time, an injury or an illness, marriage problems, problems at work, financial problems, being a Gamecock fan, for example. And everyone suffers from stress from at one time or another, and we tend, for the most part, to try to deal with it. But when it comes overbearing, this is what can happen. And some people deal with it in different ways. It can cause physical illness at times. Others might become hyper-productive. I mean, they just go, 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 go. On the other hand, there are some people that when they kind of hit that limit of their stress or what they can handle, they just shut down. They shut down mentally. They're done. What about anxiety? Anxiety seems to be something deeper than just the physical. Deeper than just the mind, though it's connected. But I believe it touches the spiritual. And everyday worries take place in your thoughts, while anxiety often manifests physically and in the body. Anxiety is generally vague. You feel unsettled, but you can't pinpoint what you're anxious about. And that can make problem solving very difficult. Anxiety is persistent, even when concerns are unrealistic and it doesn't make sense. It often compromises your ability to function. Anxiety, however, seeps into your psyche and can make it difficult to focus and get things done. And I believe anxiety is more spiritual, more of a spiritual issue than what many, many realize. And somehow the soul, the spirit, emotions or conscience or will and mind, they are connected and they're interrelated. And what I know is that God made us. He made us, and He believes we're well made. And however He made us, whether you like the way you look or not, or who you are, or maybe you're more of a natural worrier than other people, it tends when it comes to worry and problems, there seems to be three predominant ways in which we deal with it. Some people are what we call barriers, right? They will take what's bothering and they just bury it. They just push it down. Like, feelings go down. I can't have any feelings. And they just kind of push it down. And eventually they explode because they pushed it down so far. There's some people who are carriers. They're like a big bag over their shoulder. And like the heavier it gets, the more they just look weighed down and tired and issues. Then there's some people, we usually don't like these people. They don't worry about anything. They're like, it like goes, I'm just kidding about liking you. We like you. But you just annoy us a little bit. And sometimes we're married to them, right? But a problem just goes like the water off the back of a duck. It just goes right off of us. We don't have any cares, but we all deal with it differently. Craig Rochelle, in his book, Battle for the Mind. Anyways, Craig Rochelle, he has many different books. He's a pastor in Oklahoma City. Marvelous book dealing with mental health. I highly recommend it. Check it out. But this is what he said. He said, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes who we are. Let me say it again. Our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So let me ask, what are you thinking on? And if you're constantly thinking on the worry for today, if you're constantly stressed out and it's affecting you physically, what are you stressed out about? And some of you right now, you're struggling so badly with anxiety. And how did you get down to that point? How did you get down to that point where it's constantly like every day? What's happened is our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And what we think, what we do, shapes who we are. And they're all interconnected. And so, what should we do? How can we overcome worry, stress, and anxiety? What should I do? Here's the first thing. Control what God wants you to control. Worry owns you. control you own. And listen, there's some things God has given you that you should be concerned about. And I know sometimes, like, and we can go from one scale to another. There's some people who, I mean, they worry about everything and they try to control everything. Maybe they're control freaks. There's some people who are, you know, very laid back and God made them that way, which is great, but they seem not to be concerned about anything. And somewhere in the middle, listen, on both ends, one, both are going overboard. There's some things God has given you should be concerned about. You should be concerned about your children. You should be concerned about your spouse. You should be concerned about your marriage, relationships, your church. There's things God has given you that you should control, and that's okay. What we worry about is the things we can't control them. So first and foremost, control what you can control. Some things you can control physically, for example. Get enough rest. Are you getting enough rest? I mean, maybe you're a person that you need 7 hours of sleep. For me, I need 7 hours. If I get 7 hours, I'm good. But let's face it, most of us, if we don't get the right amount of sleep for us, we're cranky, we're grumpy, and we're not ourselves. No one wants to be around us. Get your sleep. Get your sleep. Get some rest. Other thing you may need is, man, it's time to start eating right. Man, I tell you, what you eat really, really, really does matter. It really does affect you. It'll affect your hormones. It'll affect how you feel. And getting your weight and your body under control, man, it really, really does help when it comes to dealing with stress and worry. But you can control some of this. Some of you can control. And being unhealthy or out of balance in these areas, man, it can make it very, very difficult to manage stress. Physical exercise is another way that, man, gets rid of some of that stress out of your body. It works it out, and it's good for you. And we've seen in this pandemic that taking care of your body is essential. No question, there's been healthy people who have, you know, gotten sick, and some have even unfortunately passed away. But predominantly, what we've seen is that those who are unhealthy, the virus has affected the most and the worst. And the Bible has pointed us that way, has taught us that, and has told us that. And as we even saw last week, that we need to take care of ourselves. Then what about our soul? There's some things you can do to take care of your soul. Maybe you just need to take some time and listen to some great music. What music are you listening to? Are you listening to music, man, that just destroys your soul or discourages you? Listen, I'm not a person who says you only have to listen to Christian music, but I think it's wise that you listen to Christian music. But listen, if you're listening to, like, you know, let's say country music, for example, and I'm not bashing on country. Maybe you love your country music. But if you're always listening to something about, that's always kind of a negative in your life and it's not positive, it will bring you down. If they're always talking about the girl they lost, the job they lost, the truck they lost or wrecked, or crying over spilt beer or whatever it is. And truthfully, there's some country I really like myself. But I predominantly listen to Christian music. Man, it uplifts my soul. It really does. Take into account what you listen to. Take a walk. Go fishing. Go boating. Go serve somebody. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive. It'll do good for your soul. Pray. Meditate. Take your favorite Bible verse, man. A great way is take your favorite Bible verse, especially if there's an area you struggle in, and memorize it. So during the day, you can just quote it to yourself when the enemy attacks. Maybe it's in the middle of the night. Man, you're prepared and you're ready. Maybe you need a journal. I mean, there's something that really benefits your soul when you journal. It takes some of those feelings that are built up in your soul and it takes it out and it puts it on paper. It's very, very, very therapeutic. Maybe you just need to slow down. You need to slow down and you need to count your blessings and go, you know what? I know I have some things I'm worried about that I shouldn't be. I know life is crazy and it's hectic. But as I look around and I see my kids are healthy, my wife is healthy. I have a job. I can put food on the table. I have a house. I have a roof over my head. And you start counting your blessings. You go, you know what? God's been really, really good to me. And it helps put things in perspective. It really does. And Jesus spoke on this when it came to our needs. You have a heavenly Father that loves you deeply. He knows your needs. He knows your wants. And this is what Jesus said. This is what he said about our worries. He said, this is what I tell you. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly take care of you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of who? Unbelievers have a reason to worry. Christian, you don't. You have an Abba Father who loves you. He knows your needs. Now, part of this is conditional, though. It is. And Jesus says exactly what those conditions are. He says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously. In other words, do what is right. Live for God. And he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And Jesus, listen, Jesus is not saying, hey, don't plan anything. Don't have a calendar. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying you shouldn't plan and be wise with money. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is this, is Christian, instead of worrying about everything that is not going to happen, and maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe 20 years from now before you even have to deal with it, live in the moment today. You ever realize God has not given you tomorrow to live yet? And he's not given you yesterday to relive. He's given you right now, the moment. And yet God, he's outside of time and space. He's in the moment, but he doesn't live in the moment. He sees it all. Jesus said, live in the moment. Trust in me. He's saying, hey, why do you have so little faith? That's convicting right there. It convicts me, like, man, okay, Jesus, I see your point. All right. He's saying, trust me. Follow me. I got you. You see, we cannot wholly be dedicated to God if we're devoted to worrying about tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow is a failure to trust God, and it accomplishes nothing. So, and 1 Peter said this. He said, give all your worries and cares, for he cares for you. Give it to him. Say, God, here it is. This is what I'm worried about. This is what's going on. And it just continues to play in my mind. Give it to the Lord. Give it to him. He wants it. He's asking for it. And his command is, don't worry about tomorrow. Live in the moment in which he's given you in your life. See, no difficulty is greater than our great God. And worrying about tomorrow is looking at the future as if God will not be there to take care of us. But Jesus teaches us to live in God's presence one day at a time and deal with each problem when it comes through prayer, through being in the Word, and by the help of the Holy Spirit. So how? How do we deal with this worry, this stress, and anxiety? First, you control what you need to control and give the rest to God. Next is this, is rest in the sovereignty of God. Last week, we touched on man, people having free will, that God has given us the ability to make certain choices. And I believe that. There's also God's sovereignty. Maybe you're not familiar with that term, but God's sovereignty refers to the fact that God is in complete control of the universe. And as a child of God, we need to be reminded from time to time that the God I serve, that He is always in control. Always in control. Now, there is, you know, discussions and at times even arguments in Christianity between, okay, you have man's free will, you have God's sovereignty, and God has given man the ability to choose, yet God's always complete in control. How does that work? You want to know the answer? I don't know. And neither does really anybody else. There are some who will say man really doesn't have free will. And there are some who say, well, God's not really completely in control. And we're going to dive deeper into that in the following weeks, okay? But I want to touch on some of these terms. So as we dive in deeper on some of the terms, you're already a little bit familiar with some of this. But what can happen sometimes when it comes to God's sovereignty is some will get focused on determinism, or what we call fatalism. In other words, fatalism is the belief that what will be, will be. And in their mind, it's going to be kind of like, well, since God, you know, is in control of everything, then God must have everything just already set up and for the future, you know, who I'm going to marry, you know, what job I'm going to have, I must have no choice in this. And I don't believe that to be true. And what will happen is in their life, their philosophy will be, well, what does it matter even anyway? Why should I push? Why should I have any ambition? Why should I work hard or try hard? And that's how some will think. And I believe because God has given us a free will, and yet it should comfort us really as believers that God has given me things I should control and choices I should make. And yet I know that God, my Father, is in control as well. And that if I'm going down a path I shouldn't go, even if I'm doing it ignorantly, I know because He loves me, He's going to help me. But you know, sometimes in life, we go through difficult times. Sometimes we have failures in life. Sometimes it's in our relationships. Sometimes it's in a business. You know, it can be many different avenues. But if you ask anyone who's ever been successful in anything in life, especially in business, you know what you'll see? You'll see someone who has failed many, many different times. And the truth is, we learn a lot more from our failures than we do our successes. We learn from success, no question. I prefer to succeed rather than fail. But we learn a lot when we fail. And God uses all those experiences, even in His sovereignty, for our good. And the Bible says that. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose." And so the sovereignty of God impacts everyday life, and that it removes all cause for worry. But you have a choice. Will you be worried or concerned? Christian, you should be concerned. What you're tempted to worry about, you need to bring to God in prayer and say, "God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to have faith in knowing that You're in control." You see, faith is believing that God has your best interest in mind and that His word is true. I'm going to trust in Him. You see, God's sovereignty impacts everyday life, and that we can trust God's sanctifying work in us. You know what it means to be sanctified? It means this. It means to be more set apart for God. And that's what He wants to do in your life. Many times Christians feel that maturing in their faith is completely up to them. And you do have your responsibility. You have a choice to obey or to disobey. You have that choice. But here's the comforting thing as well in God's sovereignty. Now, sometimes we have rough edges that need to be sanded down and smoothed out. And God says, "You definitely, you know, be more set apart for Me. It does require your obedience. But because I love you, I'm going to help you also mature." And that's what He does through His Holy Spirit. Just as you as a parent, you know that a child is going to act like a child sometimes. And you're there to help them, to guide them, to nurture them, to be the kind of God-fearing adult in which they need to be. And we can rest in that. We can rest in that. Moms, dads, you look at your children and you go, man, will they follow Jesus? Will they not follow Jesus? And ultimately, they have the choice to follow Jesus. Raise them in church, raise them how to do right, raise them right at home. But ultimately, they have the choice. When you dedicate, and we dedicate all three of our children to the Lord, you dedicate them to the Lord. I'm saying, God, I'm going to trust in your sovereignty, that I'm going to do my part which concerns me. But the rest of it, I'm going to rest in knowing that you are sovereign and that you are good and that you love my child more than I even love them. You see, the sovereignty of God also affects how we make decisions. We recognize that God is in control, so we don't need to be paralyzed by decision making. And if we make the wrong decision, all is not lost. We can trust in God's faithfulness and his ability to set us back on the right course. And you may have two different good-looking decisions, and you're like, should I take this job, that job, or should we make this decision with our child, or this one? And maybe you're a little uncertain about what to do. And there's nothing wrong with praying and asking God and seeking the wisdom and counsel of other people. But I'm going to rest in God's sovereignty and knowing that if I do make the wrong one, through his Holy Spirit, he's going to steer me back on the right track. You see, God is sovereign and it impacts our sense of identity. When we understand how powerful the Lord is and how much he really does love us, we can know that we are secure in him. And as the objects of God's love, we allow God to define us and give us our worth rather than looking at the changing ideals of the world to find our worth in. We find our worth and our identity in him. And we tell you, the enemy, he prowls around and he looks. Whose self-esteem can I bring down today? Who can I, Christian, can I make them ineffective? What Christian is already on that path? They're worrying already. How can I move this to make it more physical and the stress? How can I take the worry and the stress and really turn it into anxiety that will just cripple them? How can I keep them in that anxiety? And you have an enemy. And my friend, it is deeply, deeply spiritual. I love what Romans 8 says. It says, in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In Christ, there's no act of declaring they are guilty. And the enemy loves to remind us of our sin and how guilty we once were. But no longer in Christ are we under condemnation. And I'm thankful for that. Here's number three on how we deal with worry, stress, and anxiety. Replace the lie with God's truth. Replace the lie with God's truth. 2 Timothy 3 tells us this. It says, all scripture is inspired. In other words, God breathed. It's alive by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. And we have things that are wrong. I mean, the flesh and the soul, tainted by sin, wants to steer to do wrong. And we need someone to help steer us right. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the Word. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. In other words, to live right, to do right, to live in a way he wants us to live. And if we're crippled by anxiety, God's not in that. We need to ask, what's going on? And man, the Word and trusting in him can be like a salve for that wound in which we have. And no, my friend, it may not heal it overnight, but it will heal it. It will take some time, but he'll heal it. And he can restore you. And he can help you. And you may feel like there's not any hope, but there is. You might think to yourself, and the lie that you're believing, maybe you believe the lie that God really doesn't care. Maybe in your mind you just think, well, I'll just follow my heart. That's always the right answer. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Maybe you think to yourself, well, I can handle it. I really don't need God. Maybe you think God really doesn't care, that he doesn't know what you're going through. He does. Maybe you think God only cares about the big things. He doesn't care about the little things. No. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you say, think, and do, and yet he loves you. It's what was written to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. In some translations, it says, not worry, it says anxiety. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then, it's conditional. This is what will happen. Not it might. No, then. Then, this is what scripture says. This what will happen. Not maybe, not possibly, then. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. And our minds and our hearts, man, they are under attack today. And let me tell you, I mean, there's so much information we take in from our phones, computer, to TV. I mean, we need our hearts and our minds guarded as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. See, make sure you get this. One final thing. One last word. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So this is what it is. This is the process. He says, I want you to pray. You struggling right now with worry, stress, or anxiety? I want you to pray. Preacher, I've been doing that. Good. Pray. Next thing you're going to do is ask God. In other words, you're going to give a request to God. You're going to ask God. That's part of prayer. You're going to be specific. God, this is what I'm asking. This is what I'm wanting. God, hear my prayer. You're going to ask God. It says you're going to thank God. My problem is anxiety. Why do I need to thank God? You're going to thank God. When you thank God, this is what happens. You start to count your blessings. You start to count your blessings. In other words, you start to see how good you have it. And it'll do your heart. Man, it'll do your heart and your soul some good. Here's the result. So you pray, you ask God, you thank God. The result is peace. The result is peace. And the result of that peace is that it will guard your heart and your soul. Where's the seat of the emotions? Your heart. Your heart. My favorite passage is John 3, 5, and 6. Verse 7, though, says that when you trust in the Lord, that it'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, that's the King James Version. That's what I grew up on. Where's your navel? Right here. This whole area. You ever been so worried you can feel it in your gut? Yeah. Where's your blood come from? The marrow of your bones. What is he saying? When you give it all to the Lord, you ask God, you thank God, the result's going to be peace that will guard the seat of your emotions, your heart, and your soul. Then you're not just going to stop there. You're going to keep focused and consistent. In other words, you're going to practice and continue every day. You're going to perform the way you practice. Just as within sports, if we had a bad practice, guess what? We usually played a bad game. And he says, keep putting into practice in verse 9. All that you've learned and received from me. Everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Christian, are you practicing? Are you being consistent? And you know what the answer usually is? Is no. Why do we struggle so much with worry, stress, and anxiety? Because we don't obey and follow Scripture. The antidote is before you. And here's number 4. You see, today is a day and age of the Holy Spirit. God the Father is not done. Jesus is sitting and ascended and seating next to God the Father. And Jesus said himself to his disciples, listen, I'm leaving, but another helper's coming. He's a counselor. He's going to be with you. He's going to help you. And as a Christian, he's been given to you. He indwells in you. And we're told in Scripture to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, which means this. It means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And I don't know more of an effective technique to handle the stress in my life other than to turn to Jesus. God designed you and me in a way that our spirit, mind, and body would react in a marvelous way when we feel tense and anxious and heavy and set our heart and mind on Jesus. God knew that Jesus was our antidote for stress, not drugs, not alcohol, not food, not the internet. That's why he inspired Matthew to capture and to write about Jesus' short teaching on this topic. And here's number four, and I'm done, is get dusty. Well, that's a weird point for stress, worry, and anxiety. The first century Jews offered a blessing to disciples that proclaimed, may you always be covered by the dust of your rabbi. It meant that the disciple would follow his rabbi so closely that the dust from the rabbi's feet would kick up and settle over his followers. This offers a vivid picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus, our Messiah, our Rabbi. We are should be in such close proximity to Jesus that we can't help but to be impacted by his presence. And the real beauty of this blessing is that our Rabbi, Jesus, he wants us to be close to him. He wants us to know him. So let me ask, are you close enough to Jesus to get dusty? I love what Psalms 23:4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me and they help me. Christian, I know some of you are struggling. And the Lord is here to help you. Let's pray. Father, your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for us. We're not enough to handle everything on our own. In fact, we weren't built to do so, but we sometimes live that way. And God, surely as those who are watching, those who are attending this morning, some are struggling with worry, some are struggling with stress, some are overwhelmed by anxiety, and they need help. They don't need another pill. They don't need another therapist. They need the Holy Spirit. They don't need to keep talking about the same problem over and over and over again. They need to focus on their healing. And through your Holy Spirit, you can heal our spirits. You can heal our souls. Lord, I pray that we'll pursue you. As the music plays and we have this time of reflection, we're praying. Where are you at right now? Are you crippled by anxiety? Are you crippled by the worry each and every day? I just want you to pray right now before we dismiss. I'm not asking for hands. I'm not asking anyone to stand up. I'm not doing any of that. Just right where you're at. Just you and the Lord. The Holy Spirit is pulling on some of you right now. Say, God, forgive me for trying to handle everything on my own. God, help me. Help me to hand over these worries and these stresses in which I have right now. God, help me in my anxiety, which has taken over my life. God, I need your help, and he will help you. He will help you, my friend. He will start that healing in your life. And I pray that you'll follow what was shared to us from the Apostle Paul in Philippians. We love you. We praise you, God, that you care about every detail and all that we do here in life. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, church, for being here. God bless you. Have a great, marvelous week.